If you would this morning, take your Bibles and go to the book of Matthew, chapter number 7. We're concluding this morning the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus preaching to His disciples and a congregation of folks that have gathered around. And He brings it to a conclusion and a concluding illustration, and one you'll find very familiar, I'm sure. I've sang the song, "The wise man built his house upon the rock," over and over again as a child, and how valuable that truth is as a child. But I declare to you that it's more valuable as an adult, as we make the decisions of life that we remember and are faithful to make our foundation obedience to the Word of God and to His Son Jesus. Matthew chapter number 7, if you'll begin reading with me this morning, verse number 24. The Bible says in Matthew 7, 24, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at His doctrine. For He taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." Will you pay attention to me? And pay attention to me. I hope you pay attention to me. More importantly, pay attention to the Word of God. As the Bible says in verse 24, the last phrase of verse 24, the Bible says, "A wise man which built his house upon a rock." Today's message is this: the wise man built his house upon the rock. If you are wise, you'll build your house upon the rock, which is the Word of God, the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, the truths we find in God's Word. Let's ask God's blessing on His Word and the preaching today. Father, we ask You'd move in our hearts. We pray now that You'd convict us of sin. You'd heal us where we hurt. You'd guide us and direct us. Stir us to move and to change for Your glory and Your honor. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And just by way of introduction, I want you to see the very first word we read today, verse number 24, the word "therefore." Anytime you see the word "therefore," you need to find out what it's there for. And we always look back and consider what's going on here. And you see this passage of Scripture, and we're looking back into the Sermon on the Mount. There's so many beautiful truths we find in the Sermon on the Mount, and I will not attempt to preach through that again, but we're looking back into Christ's words. If you look in your Bibles, you have a red letter edition of the Scriptures. The red letters recognize that that's Jesus speaking. And if you pay close attention, chapters 5, 6, and 7 of the book of Matthew, almost all are the words of Christ, and He's preaching. And I'll just tell you, all the Word of God is inspired and authoritative. But when we hear our Savior teaching and preaching, we must pay close attention, because there is truth that we need to have for our lives and applied to our lives. The word "therefore," Jesus says, "therefore," He says, "I want to make an application to your life." Now, I'm afraid that some people preach for entertainment only. And Jesus, no doubt, preached a message here that was pleasant to hear. And it was understandable. And it made sense to the hearer. And that's good. And I hope that you enjoy hearing preaching. But the primary purpose of preaching is not to tickle the ears of the hearers. The primary purpose of preaching is to bring about a change in the heart and lives of the people that are hearing. And we are to be hearers of the Word and not doers only. We see this passage of Scripture, and Jesus says, "Therefore, in light of all that I've just said to you," in chapters 5, 6, and 7, "you need to do something about it. You need to make a change. You need to determine that I'm going to do something. I'm going to change for the glory of God. I'm not going to let all this truth pass in one ear, out the other, and not change my life." You see, the preaching of Christ was for the purpose of bringing about results. What did Jesus want to do? He didn't want to put these people in bondage. He wanted to set them free from religion. He didn't want to put them in bondage. He wanted to give them the opportunity to have everlasting life by putting their faith and trust in Jesus for forgiveness of sins. Jesus preached this sermon to help people. He wanted their homes to be better. He wanted their lives to be better. He wanted their future and their eternity to be right with God. That's why he was preaching. He says, therefore, he says, we're going to apply these truths. We're going to make a difference. Sermons should be informative. I hope you learn something when I preach the Word. They should be informative. But they should also drive us to decision. And decision should be followed by action. It's like this. You don't go to the doctor just so the doctor can diagnose you. You'd get mad as a hornet if you went to the doctor's office and the doctor said, you're dying of cancer. I hope you have a great day. And walks out the door and closes the door. You don't want to just hear that I'm dying of cancer. You don't hear the doctor say, here's what we're going to do. You don't go to a financial advisor and say, here's what I got. And the financial advisor goes, you got problems. And walks out the door and slams it, right? No, you want an answer. You want a remedy. But folks, I want you to know something. Your relationship to a doctor, a financial advisor, or you fill in the blank, doesn't end with a remedy. The doctor says, I've prescribed you this medicine. You go to the pharmacy and you get it filled. And once you get it filled, I want you to take this pill twice a day for the next 300 years. I don't know. You get the prescription. And what do? You take the medicine and you take it home and you obey the authority of the doctor and you apply his diagnosis and his treatment plan to your life. Now, it's so sad to see that so many folks come and listen to the preaching of the Word of God, the very thing that God has chosen to confound the foolishness, with foolish to confound the wisdom of men. God, people come and listen to preaching, and they listen to the truths that transform their lives, and they will not humble themselves and obey the Word of God. It's like getting the medicine that was prescribed and not taking it. You can't expect to get better unless you apply it. And Jesus says, therefore, we're going to apply the truths of God's Word. You see, sermons should be applied, and truths from God's Word as we see them and hear them and understand them should be acted on in our lives. Have you ever noticed that God did not say, well heard, thou good and faithful servant? He didn't say, well attended, I'm glad you came to church, thou good and faithful servant. He didn't say, well said, thou good and faithful servant. You know, there's a lot of people who talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. You ever been around folks like that? Someone said it like this, I hope I can say it right. Your talk talks and your walk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Does that make sense? You probably need to hear that again, don't you? If I can say it again, your talk talks and your walk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. You understand that? You see, God didn't say, well said, thou good and faithful servant. You say, I believe God, but you don't have any change in your life. Adrian Rogers said it like this. He said, the biggest fool is not the man who doesn't believe, but the man who does believe and doesn't live like it. Jesus says, therefore, in light of all you've heard, let's let God change your life. And God says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We are to be hearers and doers of the Word of God. We have this authority. Why should I obey the Word of God? Well, the Bible in this passage of Scripture gives us some interesting conclusions about that. Look at the last two verses of chapter number 7. In the beginning of chapter number 5 and the end of chapter number 7, we have bookends. If you have a red letter Bible, you'll see a little black at the beginning of chapter number 5. You'll see a little black at the end of chapter number 7. The Bible says in chapter 7, verse 28, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at His doctrine, for He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Why should I listen and obey the Lord Jesus Christ? Why? Why should I obey the Lord? Why should I, in obedience to God's Word, lay the proper foundation for my life. Why? Because Jesus' Word is doctrine. Doctrine's not a scary word. It's what to believe. What do you believe? I have a doctrine that this pulpit is wood. I have a doctrine that my shoes have leather on the top. I have a doctrine that this ring has a little gold in it. That's my doctrine. I believe it to be true. If I'm going to believe something to be true, I better believe it from a good authority. And Jesus Christ is the greatest authority. He spoke with His doctrine. He spoke His doctrine with great authority. The Bible says in verse 29, He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Folks, hearing the Word of God and obeying the Word of God is the only way that you can build the proper foundation. It's the only way you can build the proper foundation. And we see in the story two people building houses, one on the rock and one on the sand. And when the storms came, the house on the rock stood firm. Why? Because the foundation was the rock. The foundation in our lives should be the Word of God. It's sad to say, but I see it all around. People are trying to build skyscraper lives on outhouse foundations, and it don't work. Our foundation should be deep and rooted and anchored in obedience to the Word of God. We must lay the proper foundation. Let's look at this, number one. What they had in common. What do these two people on this day have in common? That's a beautiful passage of Scripture and some great things God gives us. Look at verse 24 of our text. The Bible says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." In this comparison and contrast, there are several things that are exactly the same. Something fascinating to me is that both of these people heard the same sermon. I see Jesus looking at this group of people. He says, "Now look, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. Therefore, in light of the fact of everything that's been said in this sermon that you have just heard," He says, "I want to tell you a little illustration. There were two different people that heard the same sermon." Both people heard the same sermon. There's never been a greater sermon preached than Jesus preaching the Sermon on the Mount. As Jesus preached that message, they were clear. They understood. It was relevant and evident that they needed to make a change. He said, both people in this story heard. Look at the Scripture says. Verse number 24, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, I will liken him unto a wise man." Verse number 26, "Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man." Both men heard the same sermon. Another thing they had in common was they both had hope for the future. The foolish man, what was he doing? The wise man, what was he doing? We'll take it in order. The Bible says, "I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." What was the wise man doing? He's building a house. Well, that's a wise thing to do. The Bible says the foolish man was building a house too. The Scripture says in verse 26, "Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand." They were both building houses. They both heard the same sermon. They're both building houses. You know what both these guys had? They had a noble ambition for the future. They wanted what was best for their wife and kids. They wanted what was right for their lives. They wanted to make the right decisions. They wanted to live. They wanted to flourish. They wanted a home and a family. And they wanted God's blessing. They wanted a house. I don't know about you, but I look at the days that are ahead in my life, and I face it with ambition. I want to serve the Lord with my life. I've only got one shot. And I wake up every day wanting to do something that matters for God. And most people are the same way. Quite frankly, I want my efforts to be productive. And both people, the wise and the foolish, both of these people wanted their efforts to be productive. Both of them wanted to establish something. I look at my own life and I want to build a house. A house that stands, a house that's right, a future, personally. I look at my family and I want to build a house. Man, I want my family to thrive. I want my children to be blessed. I look at my church and I want God to bless our church and use our church. And I want to see us go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. I want to see us affect the whole world from Chilhowee, Virginia. I want to build a house in regard to our church. I don't know about you, but how many folks around here want to build a house? Man, I want to please God. I want my life to count for something. Well, both the wise and the foolish had noble ambitions, but only one house stood. They built their house. What they had in common, they heard the same sermon. They both had noble ambitions. What else do they have in common? Look what the Scripture says. Oh me. The Bible says in verse number 25, regarding the wise man, when he built his house, the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. In verse number 27, regarding the foolish man's house, the Bible says, the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not. And it fell, I'm sorry. And great was the fall of it. What do they have in common? Both houses faced storms. Folks who tell you, if you'll begin to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, it'll be all honey and no bees, all roses and no thorns. They're lying. It's not true. Storms come. The Bible, one of the most encouraging verses in Scripture, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Be blessed. The truth of the matter is we face trouble. All of us do. The storms draw us close to the Lord and help us see our need for the Lord. And they have purpose. Both houses faced the storms. God blessed one and couldn't. Not that He didn't want to. Couldn't bless the other. You know, rains come, floods come, winds come. I heard this illustration. It helped me see it. I thought it was quite funny. How many of you ever went to the mailbox and opened the mailbox and the flyer, advertiser, whatever it says Cody Sturgill or current resident? How many of you have ever seen that? Do you know what that means? We really don't care who lives here. And when it comes to rains and floods and storms and trouble, it don't matter who you are or where you live. They come. They come. But what determines whether the house that we desire to build stands? One thing, a proper foundation. A proper foundation. And that foundation is when we rest in the authority of the Word of God. You know, when they built the One World Trade Center in New York City, I had the opportunity. I was singing a quartet in college when September 11th happened. The trade towers had been attacked, and I got a call. Cody, will you go and sing at fire halls and police departments for shift changes? I said, yes, I'd love to go. Quite frankly, I'd never left. I thought I was really moving to the big city when I moved to Knoxville. My mom said, she said, now, Cody, you're moving to the city. You're going to have to start taking the keys out of your truck and locking the doors. I thought I'd really move somewhere, you know, when I moved to Knoxville. Here I am, a freshman in college, a sophomore in college, and I'm taking off to New York. I remember pulling out. Ruth and I had just started dating a little bit. And I was pulling out of the parking lot. I thought, my lands, I'm going to go to New York and give my life there. But I went to New York and I saw for the very first time Ground Zero. and the trade towers had already fallen. I was there and when it was still on fire, and the dust from the wreckage had spread all over the city, and we were pushing through dust, getting to people and seeing it at fire halls and that type of thing. But I've read something fascinating. They've built back the One World Trade Center. Subterranean, below ground level. There's 500,000 square feet of building there. The foundation goes more than 100 foot deep in the ground. Why? Because if you're going to build something high and build something right, it must have a solid foundation. You see, these two people had in common that they'd heard the same sermon. They were both building houses, and the storms would come. But what they had in contrast, number two, is what's most important for us today. What they had in contrast. Look what the Scripture says. First of all, the Bible says in verse 24, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man." Verse number 26, "Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man." What's the first thing they had in contrast? The first man, the wise man, heard God's word and did what it said. This is so elementary, but it's so vital. They were hearers and doers. When they heard the truth, they responded and obeyed the truth. They didn't make excuses. And they didn't say things like, "This is old news, this is Old Testament, this is old truth." They said, "This is the Word of God, and I will apply it to my life," and they obeyed. They were hearers and doers. They had the right obedience. The foolish man was a hearer, and he did them not. Folks, I beg of you, when you hear God's Word and God in a still small voice begins to prick in your heart, that you need to change. Do it. Do it. You say, "It'll change my life." Yes, for the better. You say, "It'll change my ways." Yes, for the better. You say, "It's going to mess up my style." It may, but it'll always be better and right. The bondage of Christianity just seems so bondage-like. But it's not. That's a lie from the devil. The most freeing thing you'll ever do is to confess your sin to the Lord Jesus Christ and get saved by the grace of God and know that you have everlasting life. You can live life to the fullest because you don't spend all your time worrying about going to hell when you die. And you can live your life to the fullness because the indwelling Holy Spirit is leading, guiding, and directing you, and you can rest by faith in Him. Be a hearer and a doer. What they have in contrast, one was obedient to the Word of God and one was not. What they have in contrast, one was wise and one was foolish. Something I find interesting about this, the Lord declared the man that heard and obeyed wise. The man that heard and disobeyed, He declared him foolish. Folks, I want you to know something. Wise and foolish has nothing to do with your IQ. Wise and foolish has nothing to do with how smart you are. Wise and foolish has everything to do with the choices that you make. Some of the smartest people I've ever met have made some of the silliest choices. And vice versa. Wisdom comes from God. And the wise man said, "You know what? I'm going to trust the Lord." I don't know if you're like me, but I disdain instructions. Oh, I hate it. I don't even like Siri telling me how to get places. I mean, it's just a man thing, I guess. I like to put together things because I think I know how. But how many of you ever tried to put together something and finally you've had to look and see what the manual had to say? Isn't it terrible? I've got to confess I've done it before. I've actually looked at the instructions, guys. You know what I find out every time? I'm mechanically inclined. I am. I got tools. I know how to use them. You know what I found out? The manufacturer has a greater understanding of the product than me. I'm sorry. It's true. I know you're shocked. Folks, I want you to know something. Your manufacturer, your creator, God, He knows you better than you know you. He knows what you need better than you know what you need. And He's given us a manual. He's given us instruction. He's given us an authority that we should submit to and we should learn from and we should obey and hear and do the Word of God. It is a wise man that listens and reads the instructions from the manufacturer, and it's a wise man that humbles himself and does what God says to do. You see, the wise man chose the wisdom of men. The wise man chose the wisdom of God. And it was a wise thing to do. And the foolish man chose the wisdom of men. And it was a foolish thing to do. The things they had in contrast: obedience, the right obedience, the right choices. Thirdly, the right authority. What was the foundation? The man that built his house on the rock, he chose the right foundation. His house was built upon a rock. And when the storms came, it stood. He chose the right authority. The foolish man chose the wrong authority. He built his house upon the sand. It was a poor foundation. What else do they have in contrast? The Bible says in verse number 25, the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house. It fell not. I like that. See, I'm building. Are you building? I'm building. Do you know what I want? I want my building to stand. And God has said, that man's building, it fell not. Lord, please be able to say of what I'm trying to build in this life for Your glory, it fell not. It fell not. Why? For it was founded upon a rock. Verse number 27, the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. It breaks my heart. I say it with great sorrow. But I watch the buildings of people that I love fall. Why? I watch the ambitions of their lives fall. Why? It fell. Why did it fall? The wrong foundation. I got this. I'm not going to obey those archaic truths from the Bible. I know what the preacher said, but I know what God's Word said, but the Bible says it failed. And it doesn't stop there. Some of the saddest words in the Bible, right here, the Bible says, and great was the fall of it. Great was the fall of it. Why are our marriages falling apart? The wrong foundation. Why is our society in shambles? The wrong foundation. What do we need? The right foundation. We need the Lord Jesus. We need obedience to the Word of God. Jesus says, great was the fall of it. You know what we need? The right foundation. We need to obey the Word of God. I don't know if you remember these or not, but they came out sometime when I was a child. How many of you remember those inflatable punching bags? You remember those? Now, they had a weight, a foundation in the bottom. That was made of sand, and that is irrelevant to my illustration. So don't even think about the fact that was sand in the bottom of that punching bag. I remember mine. I'm pretty sure that it was Yogi Bear. It was called a Punch Me. And there was a whole lineup of Punch Me's. And these Punch Me's were great. I loved it. I remember blowing mine up, and I remember it being out in the living room floor. And I'd take that thing, I'd punch it, boom, as hard as I could. It hit the ground. Sometimes it hit the ground and come back and get you back. It hit the ground, but no matter how hard you hit that thing, it would stand right back up. I'd take and I'd kick it. I could kick it in the head, plop, 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 and land, and that thing would go right back up. It's almost like Yogi was possessed or something, you know? He's back looking at you. You know, one of the biggest, one of the most popular one of those things was a clown. And I like punching clowns. They're scary. You know something interesting about those punch-me's? No matter what happened up here, the wind could blow, I could punch it, I could kick it, I could do my best karate chop on it. No matter what happened up here, it always stood up. Why? It had a foundation. It always stood up. And folks, it's easy to get in a pattern where we're just flailing around in life. Going from failure to failure, from disappointment to disappointment. Constantly beat down with the cares of this world. The things we build, the first time the strong wind blows, they just fall apart. And we wonder why. And God says in His Word, the wise man built his house upon a rock. Folks, if you live in disobedience to God's Word, you can expect nothing more than when the storms come that your house will wash away. But if you'll build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ, the rains will come down, the floods will come up, and the house on the rock, it will stand. It will stand. Oh, may we build our house on the Lord Jesus Christ. The wise man built his house on the rock. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes all around?